It seemed a good idea at the time, Lord. Not just the right thing to do, but the only thing. You called. I responded freely, thankfully, gladly. The joy of your love flooding my soul. The promise of new life stretching out gloriously before me. I'd made my decision, and I was happy to have done so, confident of the way ahead. But only then, the doubt started, not about you, but me, my ability to honour the promise I'd made. It wasn't that my love changed, don't think that, simply that I began to understand what commitment involved. You call to love and go on loving, to give and to go on giving, to turn the other cheek, to forgive our enemies. Walk the extra mile. But somehow, Lord, I hadn't bargained on these. And together they've made me realize that taking a decision is one thing, living it is quite another. I'm scared, Lord, afraid of letting you down, of saying one thing and doing another. My faith, all show and no substance. I want to follow you, know that. But I'm not sure I have the courage or dedication I need to see you through. Oh Lord, what have I done? Where am I going? You helped me decide. Now help me live with my decision. Life-changing decision. There wasn't far to go. The climb had been long and steep, but the end was in sight. Anybody who's done any walking knows that that is not always true. A good many years ago, some people that I worked with invited me to go camping for the weekend. Now, Pete and John and Linda and Mike all lived, you might say, off the land. They kept their own animals, they grew their own vegetables, and they lived a very simple life. They had little transports who walked everywhere and always went off at weekends, walking and camping. Now, most of you know me, this is how I turn up on a Sunday, and this is how I would turn up to work. They would come in their jeans, their baggy shirts, and they did a brilliant job. It was not about what they wore, but about the job that they did. But they invited me to go on this weekend, and me thinking, this will be a bit of a doddle. I've been in the boys' brigade. I've climbed Snowdon, up the pig track. I've been there when the mist came down and we had to stand still, otherwise we'd have gone off the edge. I've been there when a young lad said to us, where's the toilet, sir? In the middle of it, I won't tell him what we told him. I thought that when we got so far on this walk, we'd made it, only to find that it went down again and back up. And somehow it was a bit of almost like a bit of a roller coaster. It was longer and steeper than I had ever accomplished. Making decisions can make us feel like that. One more step to take, which leads to making that decision. To make a decision, we've got to take a step. And it's a step we want to take in faith. But yet, on the other hand, making a decision can actually be quite the easy part. It's sticking to it that actually becomes the problem. The apostles, and above all Peter, found it difficult in keeping in line with the decision and promises that they made. And I think most of us can see something of Peter in our own lives. I don't know what your impressions of Peter are, but I always see him as somebody a bit rough and ready, a bit of rough on the edges, not smooth. We see Peter confessing his faith. He declares his commitment. Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And the other apostles said the same. But the signs were there, even when he'd failed to understand what following Jesus truly meant. Peter falls back into his old ways. But he says, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. These were, I don't believe, empty words of Peter. I think he genuinely believed that that was true, that that's what he would do. I think they were heartfelt, genuine, in a moment, and we're all guilty, aren't we, to a greater or lesser extent, of falling into the same trap. He'd made his decision, and he expected to stick with it. And sometimes we make those decisions, and we're expected to stick with it. As we know, Peter was proved wrong. In fact, the words came back to haunt him. As three times he denies his relationship with Jesus. What had been an easy comment had become reality. And yet, let's be fair to Peter. He was not the only one to desert Jesus in his time of need. When we think of them all running away, hiding themselves for fear. In making decisions, Jesus is the only way. For Jesus knows about cost. Think about his time in the wilderness and everything that was thrown at him. 40 days and 40 nights. Someone actually said recently, and it may in the last day or two, that in actual fact is, if you can go 3 or 4 days without food, in actual fact, you stop being hungry and you could go for 40 days. It would physically do you no good, but you could actually do it without too much suffering. I'm not sure that that's true. I'm sure for most of us, we would struggle. Our bodies would start to break. We would need that sustenance, physical, that would keep us going. And in that, there was a promise. There was a promise that if Jesus did certain things, he could have certain things. And you know, we live in a world where people promise us all sorts of things. And we have to make a decision. Do we accept it or do we reject it? Our televisions are full of things that people want us to have. James has thrown a spanner in the works, if you like, with all this stuff that we've had to fill out on forms and that is now kept in locked cupboards. And I'm not blaming James, it's a governmental thing, but we know what it means, don't we, when we see all that. We have to make a decision to either follow it or to reject it. We all start out on a path to make a decision to follow Christ. But can we climb the path that's before us? You know, in accepting Jesus Christ, so many times you hear it, you know, if you accept Jesus, your life will be free of worries. You'll be able to do all things. You'll be able to climb mountains. You'll be able to swim the ocean. Well, it's a load of tosh, really, isn't it? Because it's not reality. It's not the relationship that we have with Christ. Our relationship with Christ is one of turmoil. It's one of ups and downs. It's about making decisions and fulfilling some and sadly letting others go by the board. It's often said, isn't it, that in times of trouble, in times of stress, we'll make that commitment. Lord, I promise I'll do this. If you do this for me. And when through his graciousness he does it, we forget the other side of the commitment. Don't like to use the bargain because we don't bargain with God. We seek out. In making the decision to follow his heavenly Father, Jesus was to suffer hostility, ridicule, accusation of blasphemy and threats against his life. And yet he stayed true to the decision that he made. And yet we do have that fleeting moment. That fleeting moment in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus falls to the ground and asks if it be possible to let this cup pass by. This was the time when Jesus had to face the consequences of the decision he had made. Through God's generosity and love, the love that Jesus also had for Peter and the others, they were given the opportunity to having the slate wiped clean. The promises that they'd made, they'd not fulfilled. But they could put the past behind them. And when the question was put to them again, they were able to make the right decision. Now I want us to know that we can receive that same forgiveness, for the decisions we've made are not kept. Forgiveness is in God's nature. He's a forgiving, loving, caring God. And some of you may be making decisions that will affect your future. Decisions that need to be placed before God. Decisions that need prayer and support from those around you. But with Christ journeying with you, the decision can become a reality, not a burden. We should share with one another our burdens. We should share those things that are important to us, those things that make us tick day by day. That we make those decisions with people who have us held at the heart of our Christian faith. And praying that the decisions we make will accord with God's will for us. It is so easy just to go off and make decisions. We need to make those decisions in our time set apart. But take heart in knowing that when we mess up, God steps in if we acknowledge our failure and when we seek that restitution. Jesus said to Peter, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" Three times he asks him a question. And Peter responded in an affirmative way. "You know that I love you." So how will you and I respond? We may look back on decisions made. We may find the implications of discipleship far more demanding than we ever expected or anticipated. For when we come into the life of the church, we're asked to play our part within it. But likewise, we are ourselves. And God seeks out those things that we might do. Those things that individually he calls us with our gifts and our talents. How can I best use those things that you've given? And I want to just give this reassurance tonight that no matter how many times we fail, the invitation, that invitation to begin again, that invitation's not issued alone, but it's issued with Christ at our side. The invitation is to come back, or to stay, or to go, to do something different, to be challenged. Sometimes we're called out of our comfort zone. I remember just two things from my own personal life. One was leaving the job that I was doing and to go to work for social services in a community centre, which paid a fraction of the pay I was already receiving. A decision that Sandra and I took together was that I would go for it, and I was offered the job. I was fortunate because not too long after, I was promoted. And so therefore my salary grew. But it was still tough. And then the second time was when I felt God's call to ministry. And let me tell you, that was tough. Because it was 4 years of praying that through with friends, with family, and sometimes with family who didn't quite understand it. In fact, sometimes people in the church who didn't understand it either. Why give up what you've got for something that you're unsure of? And a little aside is, I remember that when our regional minister came to visit Sandra and I at home, and he said, "Mike, I'll willingly support your application, but there might not be any jobs at the end of it. And if there is, they might be part-time." He said, "Remember, this will be one of the biggest and hardest decisions that you will have to make, because you've still got quite a young family." It's important that our decisions that we make, we lay before the Lord. For in Christ we find strength. And we need to live our lives and to live out our decisions according to His will and His purpose. And we need to simply be able to answer, yes. Yes. That's the only response that He seeks from us. Yes. And He responds, "I love you." Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the disciples said the same. In a moment, they made a decision. And that was what it was, that they would stay there, they would stay close together. But in reality, the decisions that we often make in haste are the ones that we cannot fulfill. We'll have to make decisions through this week. And some of those decisions will be quite simple. They will be the decisions of what you do during the day. But others will be quite important. They could be life-changing, even in this week. So surrender all to Jesus.